And our text tonight will be verse 6. And I certainly have enjoyed the series on the qualification for a pastor. And Paul, as you know, is profiling spiritual virtues that qualify pastors. And it certainly is a high holy calling. And the standard is high. But every pastor still falls short. There's no perfect pastor. Perfectly saved, amen, but in need of prayers, and certainly there are qualifications for leadership, and it's a very crucial thing because the local church is very important, and God knows that, and He set it up a certain way, and one of the most difficult things for people to follow is authority. Can I get an amen? All of you have a rebel inside of you. That's that old man, that old nature, and we struggle with that. And because of that, God has put a standard, a qualification for pastors and leadership, and it's a difficult thing. And but because of pride, we want to impose things that are not in the Bible to suit us, to cater to us. And God says, this is my way. And I don't want you to add tradition to it, your opinions to it. These qualifications are very plain and direct. And if we can stick with God's way, God's qualifications, God will be pleased and the church will be blessed. And there's no other way. There's no better way than God's way. And so the title tonight is Not a Novice. Our text is 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read verse 6 and then we'll have a word of prayer and get into our study. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. We'll read it one more time. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the church. Lord, where would we be without the local church? I want to thank you for the gifts and callings. Thank you for equipping us with your word, with teachers, with pastors, with evangelists, with missionaries. And God, we are without excuse tonight. We have each other. We have you. And if you're behind us, Lord, and empowered us, it's amazing what we can do when we trust in you. I pray, Father, tonight that you would help us to take heed to the warning here in Scripture. That we would be sure to pray for leadership and for each other, knowing that we're not above temptation or sin or falling into the condemnation of the devil. We ask for your guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Not a novice. Now, again, I've really enjoyed the challenge that Pastor John has given us in expository teaching and preaching. And there's just something about expository teaching and preaching that allows us to maybe discuss things that we normally wouldn't put in a sermon. And I think what we have here in this portion of Scripture is a sort of a behind the scenes look at ministry. And we'll talk about why that's important for you and every church member to understand how the local body works and how God has set it up. But in these qualifications here in verses 1 through 5, I think it's kind of like common sense. I mean, let's take a look at this here. Verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a psychiatrist and drugs. And no, it says he desires a good work and the others as well from time to time. But that's kind of common sense that someone, you've got to have a God-given desire to go in the ministry. And I was thinking about this the other day. There have been probably two or three times in the last 15 years that God has taken away the desire that he put in me to be in the ministry. Now, I'm not talking about a long period of time. I'm talking about maybe like an hour here and there. And it was scary. Can I tell you why? Because God just gave me a glimpse of what I am not capable of doing. And for whatever reason, bad day, situation, whatever, I remember just a couple times, couple moments where I had no desire to pray, no desire to read the Bible. I'm confessing my faults to you. Don't worry. No desire to preach or teach. And that was a scary moment for me. because I got a natural look into what the ministry involves. And I'm telling you, there's a lot to the ministry that the average church member has no idea what a pastor goes through. Let me remind you, you need to pray for your pastor. When heaven opens up, the demons from hell also open up and come out. And we are in a spiritual battle. And the pastor and leadership need prayer. And so there's a desire there. And so I think God will teach us that without that desire, you wouldn't in your natural mind want to be in the ministry. Too many problems. You don't get in the ministry for a salary. You don't get in the ministry for a special parking place or a retirement package or, you know, a nice office. No, no. Oh, no. That's not what we signed up for. I had someone ask me if we weren't a pastor, what would you do? My answer was I would pastor. Well, what if you didn't have a church or a position? I would preach. I would pastor. I would soul win. I would disciple. I would baptize. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I can't explain to you the call and the desire that God puts in someone to preach. I have to do it. It's what God has put in me. There's a desire there. And you say, well, yeah, that's common sense that if God calls someone, there's a desire. We see that. Verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Well, absolutely. I mean, imagine having more than one mother-in-law. I mean, that would throw your whole ministry off. Blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, yeah, of good behavior, yeah. You know, common sense, don't be a jerk. Amen? There are pastors that are jerks. And you look at this and say, well, whoa, wait a second. You're not supposed to be a jerk. You know, good behavior is kind of a common sense thing there. He says, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine. Duh. You know, if you put wine or alcohol in your body, you can't be filled with the Spirit of God. Can I get an amen? No striker. So, you're not Mike Tyson when you get irritated with someone. You're not going to bite someone's ear, or punch them in the face or anything like that. You say, oh, there are pastors that would do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not given to wine. No striker. Not greedy of filthy lucre. So you're not preaching for money. You're not preaching a prosperity gospel and that sort of thing. That's kind of common sense. Patient, not a brawler, not covetous. And then we look at verses 4 and 5, and he talks about family. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Yeah. Common sense. I mean, if your home isn't in order, by the way, who you really are is who you are at home. And if your home is not in order, then how can you rule in a church? I mean, if your kids have 666 tattooed on their forehead, we learned about that this morning. That's not a good sign. You're going to kind of send like a hypocritical message. It's going to be confusion. And we look at this and we say, that's just common sense. We know that, Paul. But then he gets to verse 6. And verse 6 is a very severe verse with a lot of warning and consequence. He says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And so what a warning this is. How many of you would like to fall into the condemnation of the devil? You know, the devil has a target. It's pastors. That's why you need to pray for pastors. And common sense may say, well, come on. I mean, have you ever gone fill out an application or you have your resume and you go for a job and they say, we just need someone that has experience. And you're thinking, that's why I'm here. How do I get experience if no one hires me? And sometimes we take that secular mindset and we want to bring it into the church. And someone may say, well, I mean, the guy's called. Doesn't that qualify him? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's a start, but it's not a qualification. And I've actually heard this before. You know, you got to give the guy a chance. I mean, he wants to go in ministry. How is he going to get experience unless you give him a position as a pastor? Very dangerous ground. That might make sense to you or the natural man, but not according to the Word of God. So, again, one of the blessings here about going verse by verse through Scripture is we get to see certain scenarios that we normally wouldn't think about and learn about. And I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to show you how things work in the local church when it comes to leadership and pastoring and understanding ministry. There's a lot to learn. I'm still learning ministry. And I think it's been 15-ish years or so. And I look back the first church that I got in shortly after I was saved, I found out that the pastor had a salary. And I remember thinking, I don't know how I heard about that, you know, someone deacon mentioned salary or something. And I remember thinking to myself, you mean this guy gets a salary? All he does is he gets up three times a week, Sunday morning, then Sunday service, then Sunday night, Wednesday night. Okay, so four times a week and he gets a salary? Are you kidding me? He gets paid for this? It's just getting up 4 hours a week and obviously he's a gifted speaker. It comes natural to him and we're paying him money. I had no idea that there was sacrifice involved moving from when God called him from a secular job, moving his family to a smaller income, the sacrifice of giving things up, study, gossip, ridicule, a small salary. Did I say that already? The endless nights of counseling and always 24/7 being on the job. I had no idea. I had no idea the sacrifice that was involved, the faith that was involved, the endurance that was involved. You know, pastors are likened to soldiers and farmers and athletes and it takes work. It takes sacrifice. It takes faith. And I had no idea what was behind the veil of ministry. But notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, this is the church. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'm telling you, the local church is so important to you and your growth. And God wants you to know how it works. God actually wants you to know the pastor's heart. He wants you to get to know Pastor John. Paul even said that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. He said that we should know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Can I tell you what would happen if you went out for coffee with Pastor John? And by the way, he didn't tell me to talk about him tonight. He doesn't like it when I talk about him. He's actually asked me not to talk about him. I'm sorry. But he did ask to teach about the qualification of a pastor. But when we get to know our leadership, we get to know their heart, their vision, their fears, their challenges, and we'll know how to pray for them and get behind them and we'll become better churchmen members, more efficient, working together and communicating. You need to know this. Why? Because look at our text here in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love. This screams unity. This screams communication. This says we ought to know each other. We ought to know our leadership. We ought to know what we're doing and why we're doing it. We just had an excellent meeting with the children's ministry workers, communicating vision and purpose and why we're doing what we're doing. And we want to hear from you. Those are ingredients for success in a body that's supposed to be walking in the same direction. So I'm saying this to encourage you to get to know your pastor. And when you get to know your pastor, you're going to know things. You're going to be able to help better, and you're going to be able to find your place here in the body of Christ and be more effective for the glory of Christ. So church is important. Your pastor is important. This is how you grow. And it's God's will for you to grow. So as we're going through the qualifications of a pastor, I want to give you a few things tonight. This is what I want to do. I want to look at how a novice or future pastor gets to the point where he can say, man, I am ready. Number two, I want you to know why it's important. And number three, I want you to know how you can apply this principle to your own life. You know, experience is a very important thing. How many of you have experience doing something? It's good, isn't it? Remember when you didn't have that experience and you tried doing it and the messes that you made? Remember years ago we had to find a doctor to do a pretty big surgery on one of our daughters. And we were willing to go anywhere in the United States to find the right doctor that had experience that was not a novice. I remember the first doctor we went to in Michigan. We sat down with her and she said, I have observed this surgery about 25 times. Well, good. But have you done the surgery? No, but I'm very familiar with it. Not going to happen. Second doctor we went to in Cleveland, he said, I have written a book about this surgery and I teach people how to do this surgery. Okay. Well, how about yourself? Not a whole lot of experience, but he wrote the book. Don't be fooled by someone that writes a book. The third doctor here in Toledo, I said, doctor, is this something that you can do? Do you feel comfortable with this? You know what he did? He laughed and he said, this is what I do. This is why I'm here. And it was kind of funny to him. And that was a good sign. Saying, this is what I do. This is why I'm here. Okay, you're the man. And he got the job done. Experience. It's very, very important. So how does someone that's called in the ministry get to the place where they can say, you know what? Pastoring? This is what I do. I win souls to Christ. I counsel people. I teach the Word of God. I preach the Word of God. This is my life. This is what I do. I've been doing this. How do you get a guy to that point? By the way, it's a guy, not a girl. But this will apply to women in the ministry that God has given you, just not pastoring a local church. Amen. So how do we do that? First of all, we need to discuss what is a novice. A novice is someone in a position of leadership before they are qualified. I've been to a mechanic that was a novice. Can I tell you what happened? I spent a lot of money that I shouldn't have spent, and I was very, very discouraged, and my van never got fixed. You ever been to a hibachi grill? I love hibachi steakhouses, Japanese food. We were at Epcot Center years ago. And you know, Epcot does everything over the top. I would recommend it. You don't have to go to the Magic Kingdom, but go to Epcot. Went to, amen? Okay, good. Went to a hibachi grill at Epcot in the Japan, you know, country. And I loved the show. I loved the entertainment. I loved the food. And Japanese guy comes walking out. I'm like, okay, here we go. And then a white guy came walking out. And the Japanese guy is standing there, and the white guy comes over to the grill, and he sets the chicken on there, you know. And I'm thinking, I want that guy chopping my chicken, not you. And he gets over there, and it blew me away. He just starts, you know, doing this. They're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to throw a shrimp on their hat and zucchini in your mouth and the fire and the volcano and the jokes and the, you know, all that stuff. And there was none of that. He was a novice. We got ripped off. I like that. And I've heard pastors, young pastors, married for a year or two, give counsel on marriage. It didn't go so well. I've seen youth pastors give counsel on raising kids that have babies. That doesn't work out so well. I'm just saying there's really something to this thing about growing up in the Lord and preparation. It is the responsibility of leadership in the church to protect the church from a novice and to protect the novice from himself. Amen? Well, we're learning tonight. This is good. You say, how does this apply to me? You're part of the body of Christ. You need to know how God operates. You need to know how to pray. Paul said, lay hands suddenly on no man. 1 Timothy 5:22. And so typically there's a process. How do I get from a calling to getting that experience that God says I must have before I take a position? The process is pretty simple. You attend church. You say, why is that important? I've seen men called into the ministry that can't attend church regularly. You're not qualified. So you just start with the basics. You know, God's pretty simple. Aren't you glad God's simple? I mean, you just show up to church, number one. It takes no gift, no talent. You don't have to take a hermeneutics class to show up. You get in your car and you just do that, right? How many of you can do that? Okay. So it's not that hard. You attend church. You tell people about Jesus. The church will provide classes for you, maybe in the form of an institute or correspondence classes or whatever. You take the classes and you kind of finish the classes. That's important. It shows that you're disciplined. It shows that you can sit under someone and learn under someone. It shows that you can study and then, yes, even pass exams. It's really kind of a common sense sort of a thing. But after your classes, you serve in the church. We're going to get to this, but service is so important because it shows that you're not too proud to wash feet. You're too proud to wash feet. You can't be in the ministry. You just serve and say, man, I want to be a part of Bible conference. I want to help with cleaning. I want to help with the kids ministry. I want to do anything that I can. That's a good sign. That's a good start. You volunteer. You get involved in kids ministries and then assisting in other ministries. I'm telling you what, if you want to go into the ministry, God's called you into the ministry. You have that desire. There's a path that God wants you to follow. There's no shortcuts. So how do you move from a novice to a mature elder or leadership position? How do you become qualified? It takes time, experience, exposure, patience, faith. But time and experience is no guarantee. Did you know that? I know of people that have been exposed to ministry and been in ministry for a long time, but they're disqualified to be in ministry. You know, sometimes you can have the experience and the capability, but you're full of stinking pride and you are disqualified according to God. But he's such a good teacher and preacher, you say. Disqualified. You see, that's not the qualification, your ability. Your ability doesn't qualify. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Time is no guarantee. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. How many of you know of a Christian, been saved 20, 30 years, but they're full of pride? They've never grown spiritually. That was the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now, remember the Corinthian church. They were full of spiritual gifts, weren't they? I mean, there was a lot of bling going on. They had it going on. And they had all the leaders and they had all the gifts. But Paul said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. How do you speak to a baby? How you doing? Goo goo gaga. That's how Paul had to speak to these Corinthians. And that was an offense to them because they were so puffed up. You know, pride will blind you and it will destroy you. Paul said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there's among you envy, how do you know if you're carnal? How do you know if you're a babe in Christ? There's envy and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? You walk in the flesh. You promote yourself. You promote men. You want to know how someone's carnal? They have a guru preacher. That's my guy. And they'll talk about how great they are. Can I tell you how to respond to that? You say, yeah, the Bible's an amazing book. What a savior we have. put that in the place, proper place. But people that have been around, they've never grown up. What a disgrace. What an amazing disgrace that is. That you can sit in a church for 20, 30 years, 15 years, and you're making stinky messes. The pastors have to clean up. Amen. It happens. I hope that's not you tonight. God's desire is for you to grow up, to mature. I want to say this. God does not want you to be a novice in your Christianity. He wants you to have experience, maturity. He wants you to be a leader, a discipler. Where are you? If you had to take a scale of 1 to 10 in your maturity, what would you say you are? Now, if you've only been saved for a year, don't worry about it. But where are you at in maturity? Scale 1 to 10, what would you say you are? The longer you've been saved, you ought to be moving up a little bit closer to 10. And so the Corinthians, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They were so haughty and puffed up. They thought they were above temptation and falling into sin. And you know what the Apostle Paul had to do? He said, let me give you an illustration. I want this to hit home a little bit. The nation of Israel. Look at this verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were in God's will. Verse 2. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So that's the Red Sea crossing. They saw the power of God. They saw the Red Sea part and the waters congeal together. I mean, it was amazing. It was powerful. They saw that. They were a part of that. Verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. So they were partakers of the things of God. You're thinking, man, this is looking pretty good. Verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You know the story. They doubted leadership. They got their eyes off of God. They put their eyes on the enemy and themselves. And they said, God, you're not capable anymore. We're doubting everything. The fear of man, intimidation, and they rebelled against the Lord. Verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You know the story. Israel looked back to the good old days in Egypt. Oh, really? You're kind of forgetting about something like the bruises on your backs. Forgot about the good old days. Yeah, okay. Paul's saying, don't do that. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Exodus 32. Remember when Moses went up to see the vision of God and to get revelation from God? And they're like looking at their watch thinking, what is he doing? And they doubted. And that led to idolatry. Paul's saying, don't be like them. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Numbers 25. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. They doubted God's provision. Verse 10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Boy, that was Israel's besetting sin. Murmur, murmur, murmur. When they should have been praying, 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 doubting, 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 instead of praying, 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 and trusting, 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 and obeying, obeying, obeying. And Paul's saying, listen, this was Israel, God's chosen people, and they fell. They fell. Corinthians, Hope Baptist Church, you are not above this. Take heed, he says. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The Bible has a lot to say about pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And this is so important when it comes to ministry. So there's three titles given to a minister. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. The first one is bishop, and this has been covered already. It has to do with the ministry, the oversight of ministry, overseeing things. There's pastor, which has to do with the method, and that's feeding the flock. It's not about you and what you get. It's about feeding others. And then there's elder, which has to do with the man, maturity, time, testing, trials, and training. So there's three areas of growth that I want you to notice in our text. If you see in verses 2 and 3, there's moral character. Paul said a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. So that's moral character. But there's more to just moral character. There's family life. Look at verse 4 and 5. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Family life. A young preacher would say, yeah, but I just want to preach. And God says, oh no, I want your home in order. We're talking about testing and training and learning and time. You know, one of the best things a young pastor can do is work on his marriage. Work on raising children. That's the best training ground. You think, no, it's institute. It's the book of Daniel and understanding dispensations and prophecy and the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. Because I got to be able to tell guys why we're pre-trib. No, it's actually at home. Praying with your wife. You know, I have 5 keys for a successful marriage and home life. And it's all based on salvation and doctrine. Paul said to let your salvation work out of you, to work out your own salvation. It starts at home, not behind the pulpit. You think about salvation and what that means for marriage and family. Salvation is assurance. We know where we're going, right? When you got saved, the Spirit of God moved in and has given you assurance. I am on my way to heaven. Amen. That's salvation. Assurance. A husband and wife. You know where you're going. You're going to the judgment seat of Christ. You are going to stand before God. If you don't know where you're going at home, you don't know what life is all about. You see, salvation is connected with home and marriage. Grace. When you get saved, you get God's grace. For by grace are we saved through faith. Now that salvation, the day you got saved, you got the grace of God. And you're going to need that grace at home with your spouse. Some of you say amen a lot louder than others. But you don't have to do that. Grace. How you treat each other at home. It takes grace to have a successful home or you're going to kill each other. Justification is connected with salvation. When you look at your spouse, you need to see someone that is justified in God's eyes. To see Christ in each other, sanctification and growth. And then we look at the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We're empowered with the Spirit. We're to have the fruit of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. That all will affect your home life. So my advice to young preachers is work on your home. If you can have a successful marriage and you can train your children up in the way they should go and God blesses your home, you're preparing pretty good for ministry. Can I tell you why? Because this world is falling apart. It's going to hell. And families and marriages are horrific today. And if someone sees you as a pastor someday, and you've got a happy home, happy wife, happy life, amen? And you've got success in the home because you know you're saved and you're filled with the Spirit of God, they're going to say, I want that. How did you do that? And you're going to be able to take the Word of God and say, this is what we do. You'll be a success. There's moral character. There's the family life, verse 4, 5. And now we'll get to our text, verse 6. Humility. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So the issue with a novice is not being a gifted leader or having ability. It's are you full of pride? Because if you are, you're disqualified. You're going to fall in the pit of destruction. Being prepared for ministry is heart training. Heart training. I remember someone instructing me in preaching, and he said, preparing your heart is more important than preparing the message. And that's so true, but that's so hard. I can put sermons together, and they can look really good on paper, but if my heart isn't right, God's not going to bless it. It's not just about the message. The messenger does have something to do with it. A novice thinks that he has something to do with God's blessings. Well, the elder knows, boy, God's blessing in spite of me. There's a difference there. Capability does not equate to qualification. A certificate, a Bible degree does not mean that you're qualified. So why is a novice so vulnerable to be lifted up with pride? I've got 2 points. Number one, he hasn't been seasoned with experience yet. Hasn't been seasoned yet. One of my son-in-laws called me the other day and he said, I got a new grill. I'm going to use a grilling example for you because I like the grill. They don't call me the grill master for nothing, okay? And so he said, I got a new grill. I'm cooking some chicken. How do I cook that chicken? And I told him, listen, here's a mistake that young grillmen make. They haven't enrolled in the grill master school yet, but I'm going to tell you how to grill chicken. You got to cook it slow. You got to be patient. A lot of guys, when they cook chicken, they turn the heat up too high and they cook it too fast and it gets dried out and tough. See, this is what you do. You got to sear it first. You turn the heat up, you sear it a little bit. It keeps the juices in. Then you turn the heat down and you put the lid down. You got to turn it. You got to check it. But that smoke and that time will give it flavor and seasoning. You just don't turn it on high and put it on there. You gotta put some love into it and care. Slow cooking. Amen, Brother Todd? You know about that. Or it's going to be tough and dried out. And with a lot of young preachers, they want to be tough, but they're dried out. They want to do it too fast. It takes time. It takes time. Number two, he's too light. The Bible says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. You're too light. You see, something that's light is easily lifted, and he needs to get heavy and heartbroken and weak. When a young preacher, over time, with that lid down and the smoke going everywhere, experiences the seasons of life, you're going to get heartbroken. And you're going to get identified with the Savior. And you're going to come to the end of yourself. And then you can tap into the power of God. And know that any good thing that happens in me or through me is in spite of me, not because of me. That's a hard lesson to learn. And I'm still learning it. It's tough. Preparation for the ministry is preparation of the heart. It's a deconstruction of self. It's an ongoing process, and it doesn't happen in a year or two or 4 years of Bible college. It's learning that you stink, and the closer you get to God, the more the testing you become to your honest self, and you realize, God, I have no business being in the ministry. I'm really not capable. I think you probably made a mistake. And but by the grace of God, I'm here. That doesn't happen overnight. You have to come to the end of yourself. And, you know, you think about people that have mastered something. Think about fishing. I went fishing with Brother Rex once. I don't think I went twice because I got sick. I think Rex knows a little bit about fishing. And I thought you put the thing on the hook, whatever that thing was, and you throw it out, and Rex is pulling them in left and right, walleye. And I'm doing the same thing. I put the same thing on the hook, and I threw mine out, and I wasn't catching anything. He knows what he's doing. He made it look easy. I couldn't do it. What I didn't realize was he knew about temperature. He knew about depth. He knew about the season. He knew about the fish. He knew what caught what, when, why, how. He put some time into it. I didn't do that. So you know what I did? I started to imitate him. See, I was just going like this, you know. And he had a special thing. He was going over and then up like that, over and up. And I started just go over and up like that. You know what I did? I started catching fish. I learned from him. How about this one? Someone plays golf. You ever see professional golfers? You ever see the ladies? The ladies are playing at Highland Meadows this weekend, I think. And LPGA, this little lady comes out, you know, 110 pounds. And you think, what is she going to do? And she gets up there and she does a lot with that golf ball. And it's absolutely amazing. They make it look easy. They've mastered it. But they've put endless hours in study and practice. I mean, they're pivoting just right. Transfer weight from right foot to left foot. The wrists are not only going this way, but they're going that way. At the exact moment, they make it look easy. But there was a lot of hours behind that. Sometimes we look at ministry and we think they make it look so easy. You think about musicians and how easy a piano looks to play. It's not. Think about people that God has used in the Bible, like Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. Oh, he went up to Mount Moriah, sacrificed his only son. He made that look easy, but what we don't realize is there were years and years of God sprinkling seasoning on that before he could get to that point. Think about Moses, who had to have 40 years in the desert divinity school before he could be the great deliverer. We think about Paul and what Paul had to go through, the heavy hitting to be conformed in the image of Christ. It doesn't come easy. So there's a pit that a lot of Christians are falling into today, and preachers. It's called the condemnation of the devil. So I'm going to look at two verses and then we're going to be done. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. We need to take heed lest we fall. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, we know this is talking about Lucifer. This is talking about the condemnation of the devil. Now, keep this in mind, the qualification of a bishop. This is the condemnation of the devil. Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God. This is speaking about Lucifer. Thou sealest up the sum. He was it. Full of wisdom. He had wisdom. And perfect in beauty. I mean, he was as complete and beautiful as you could get. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. He had been around where he needed to be. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. God placed him there. He was God made. It was obvious. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. He was anointed of God that covereth. He knew his purpose. He knew his place. And I have set thee so. It was obvious that God set him there. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He was walking with God till verse 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Look at verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. That's the condemnation of a novice that gets lifted up with pride. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. By reason of brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Verse 18, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Whoa! This is a warning. for a novice in the ministry. This is a warning for you. This is a warning for me. Take heed lest ye fall. The destruction of pride. Look at Isaiah chapter 14. The condemnation of the devil. Isaiah chapter 14. This is what Paul wanted us to see tonight. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? By the way, have you ever... I've seen pastors in the ministry for 30, 40 years fall. Lost their testimony. Lost their influence. Lost everything. That's scary. That's scary. I'm telling you, pastors are a target. I mean, they knew their Bible. God had used them. They walked with God. They were anointed of God. And they fell. We need to be very, very careful. He said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart... Remember, it's a heart issue. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. By the way, pastoring. Remember, a pastor, it's about feeding. It's not about I. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The ministry is not about a position or power or envy or jealousy. It's about serving Christ. It's about serving each other. And if we don't understand this, we're not going to know how to pray for each other. We're not going to know what to look for and to be cautious of. I think about Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12, Solomon's son. Let's turn there. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. Remember the story of Rehoboam? He needed some counsel. And he needed some help. And so in 1 Kings chapter 12, let's begin in verse 4. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put up upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said, verse 5, 1 Kings chapter 12. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. You know what that is? That's humility. Verse 8, but he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the novices, the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? The young men, the novices that were grown up with him, spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shall they say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. You know what he did? He flexed. He got lifted up with pride. He went with the novice advice. And there was destruction. It was not a success. And so I look at this tonight. I look at those that God has used and how he's used them, those that have fallen into the condemnation of the devil, and I take heed tonight. You know what you need to do? You need to pray for your pastor. You need to get to know your pastor, the vision. You need to give your pastor the benefit of the doubt. Did I say you need to pray for your pastor? You need to pray for yourself, because you're not higher than this temptation. You're not higher than idolatry and lust and fornication and murmuring. You're not. And neither am I. We need to be saturated with prayer. We need to keep our focus on the Lord. We need to pray for those that are going into the ministry, that they don't fall. We need to get to the point where, as Christians, we're no longer a novice in this thing we call Christianity. But we're actually to the place where we can say, this is what I do. I'm growing in the Lord. I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm soul winning. I'm teaching. I'm living it, not only in the church, but at home. I'm a light to Christ and for Christ. We shouldn't be a novice in our Christianity. And we shouldn't let novices have a position in the church. We need to protect them from themselves, and we need to protect the church, and we need to do this together. We need to be on the same page. And when we can do that, we'll be fitly joined together for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. I want to thank you for the instruction that you've given us, these qualifications. Lord, it's a humbling thing. Because this whole thing is beyond us. It's bigger than us. We need you. We need each other. We need to have the mind of Christ. And Father, I pray tonight that your Spirit would allow us to search in our hearts for that pride. And I pray, Father, we would walk in humility. We would care for each other. And we would stay on the same page with each other. We keep our eyes on you. We need your help, Lord, to fulfill our calling in the body of Christ. And it's an exciting thing when it all works together and we do it your way, not through opinions or traditions, but we do it the Bible way. Help us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name.